Hallelujah. How many of you appreciate that glory? We expect good reports. Hallelujah. Thanks, man. Hallelujah. Well, for a few moments, just for a few, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We finished up there last week. If you weren't here, get the message. It was God had something wonderful to say about Hebrews 11. We enjoyed that last week, didn't we? Hallelujah. So we're just going to finish up a little bit about where we were at. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, why don't you just stretch your faith this way? So, Father, we just love you. We've already been in a worship service, and we're so thankful. We've already been in a place where we know that your power has exalted your name. And Lord, you went out in front of us and done things for people. And that's why we meet, so you can go out and do things for people. And so, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We love you so much. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And I ask you now to just, as we touch your word, to touch your word, Jesus. Guide us, for your word is truth. We thank you for the very person who is the teacher, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, last week we kind of ended up with a friendly indictment, if you can call it that, just asked a simple question, you know, if you're approached in the ages to come by these that we had a eulogy over, was Hebrews chapter 11, and gave testimony to these men and women of faith. If they meet you in heaven in the days to come, we said something along the lines of, would they look at you and say something to the effect that, ask the question or say something to the effect that you had the born-again nature and you had the third member of the Godhead and you didn't do more with it. We lost our lives on the battlefield. But really, as I said, that's hopefully a friendly indictment, and I think you received it as such. But let's just kind of, let's go to the place where where the writer in the book of Hebrews here is asking us, actually giving us a fact according to the word of what those kind of reunions will be like. And more than me asking a negative question, let's give a positive review of what the Holy Spirit is wanting us to see here in chapter 12 is where we're headed. But let's just finish up here just for a moment. We'll run back through 11 just real quick with some of the last closing comments. Looking at verse 33, talking about this eulogy of faith heroes, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. We said, of course, we know who that had to have been in the writer's mind. That had to have been, you know, Daniel, his contemporary. Our contemporaries in verse 34 must be the three Hebrew children, as we commonly call them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, as he's reading, as we're reading this, and he's writing these things down, God is really giving you a tremendous eulogy of the who's who of faith. This is an annual of a hallmark of witnesses. They're witnessing to us. And God's not, of course, he's not telling us to worship these people, but he is presenting them as icons of worship. He is presenting them as heroes. He is presenting them. He put them in the canon of Scripture for an example unto us. And these will be men and women that we patronize, and we don't We don't have a patron saint that we pray to, but there will be people that we will meet in the days to come in heaven, and we will look at them with tremendous significance because they were recorded in the Word of God. And they were men and women who, as he lists here, subdued kingdoms, you know, quenched the violence of fire, and really lived out in a time and era where they didn't have a born-again nature, but as we said last week, they lived in an accounted faith. They were looking for a time of which was to come, when Christ would come. Verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. History records, not the Bible, but history records that Isaiah was sown in half after being such a tremendous, great prophet of God and one of the greatest messianic, meaning he prophesied more about the coming of Christ, he and David and Moses, maybe David being one of the top, but Isaiah certainly being one of the top few. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We said last week that faith, and I don't know if I can coin it now, I had some notes that I had written last week, but one of the things that we understand by looking and saying these were Old Testament saints, none of them were born again, none of them were spirit-filled, so therefore we must arrive at this conclusion. Faith, the strength of faith, the strength of it, is not based upon the strength or the character even of the person desiring or putting out that faith, but it's really based upon the one providing the answer, which is God. He's the bridge. The more you can see how big He is. Now, I know there may be a question in people's mind automatically. Sometimes they go way out there, like my mind investigates. Well, what about, you know, if somebody's in some kind of horrible sin? You know, it's their character's way out there. Listen, if they repent of their horrible sin, the moment they repent of their horrible sin and turn their faith that direction, 2 minutes later, they have the accessibility to raise the dead if they can believe for it. If they can believe for it. So it's always on the one, the strength of it's always on the one that we're receiving from. Hallelujah. How big is our God? Hallelujah. God having provided, now this is where we get here tonight. Again, verse 39, these all, talking about all these Old Testament saints, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, what is the promise? The promise simply is Jesus Christ. They did not receive that promise. They were looking forward to a day in which He would come. In fact, we read a scripture over here in verse 26, and it says, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And that was talking about Moses. And it talks about Christ. And that all of everything that the Old Testament, in essence, all of everything the Old Testament saints did in faith, believing, and we qualified what faith was in the first verse of last week. But even Moses, his faith was testifying of a time when Christ would come. But here it says, all these obtained a good report, but they received not the promise, which was, of course, Jesus Christ. God having provided some better thing for us. Hallelujah. For us is, we are in the generation of this is that. Amen? Now, if you've been following the this is that messages, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, that's kind of foreign to you right now. But all of us that are in this is that last day, from the time of Christ, from the time that Peter stood up and said this is that, we've obtained the promise. And God said that in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, all those that were just listed in this last chapter, without us should not be made perfect. That they, this whole group,
All these Old Testament heroes, everybody that you could ever find any identification in, say, I identify with that person. That's a hero of the faith. That's somebody I could patronize. That's somebody I could look at with a lot of respect. And God put them here for our respect. And He put them here for our nurturing in the sense of the word to say, if they could do it, you can do it. And they weren't even born again. And we just praise God for that. If they could do it, how many of you believe we can do it? But it says here that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now let me just ask you a couple simple questions. These are not, you know, hard questions. But where are all of these Old Testament saints at right now? Where are they at? They're with Jesus. Are they in heaven? Is Jesus in heaven? Yes. Well, it says that they, without us, that's me and you, it says that without us, they should not be made perfect, meaning that it sounds like that there's something concerning their perfection that they're waiting on or looking to us. Now, I thought, just like you, that anybody in heaven has got to be in a perfect state. Wouldn't that be, I mean, what's lacking in heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, there's no lack in heaven. There's really no imperfection in heaven. But here, this writer is saying that they, without us, cannot be made perfect. That they're waiting on us. They're waiting on us. What's he saying? He's not talking about that there is an imperfection as in towards a morality or a sense of the blood has not thoroughly washed them perfectly pure and that they are not totally saints as we know saints to be saints in heaven. But this is what he's saying. This is what we find out as we read chapter 12. As we conclude in chapter 11 and go into chapter 12 is this, that these all waited out the dispensations. And simply what the writer of Hebrews is saying is this, is that we, our faith, having received the promise, which is Christ, we validate them. We complete them. This is what the Greek actually says. It says that word perfect is we bring them to a place of completion. We validate what they believed in. Our receiving Christ and walking in everything that Christ has provided for us validates everything that every Old Testament saint stood for and believed God for a time coming. Hallelujah to God. I mean, what this is saying here when it says, wherefore, or because of this, seeing we also are compassed about so with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us. Now, understand this. He's not saying that there's a cloud of witnesses sitting around a podium like this, looking over a banister and witnessing what you're doing. He's just told you through a whole chapter that every single man, every single one of these, David, Samson, every single one of them has witnessed something to us. They've been a testimony, in other words. And by that testimony, we're surrounded by all of them. They're not witnessing us. They're not watching us. They've been a witness to us. They've been a witness to us. And yet, even though they've been a witness to us, without us, they cannot be made perfect. In other words, they cannot be made complete. Have you ever heard the phrase, may they rest in peace? Let them rest in peace. Let me tell you something. There'll come a time, what this is saying is this, there'll come a time where you will meet certain ones in glory, and no matter how much you patronize them in the Word and how much a significance that you looked at them and said, my God, that was a man or woman of faith. I mean, if you walked up to them and said to David or to Samson, man, I was there, you know, are you really? I mean, I want to meet you. And it'll be all right. It'll be all right because God put them there for us as icons of faith. I mean, you rock, man. Your examples changed my life. I found a significance. What they're going to tell you is this. It won't be a phony compliment like sometimes you've received and you can tell it's only something to try to boost you up. It will be the truth. You will know it will be the truth because you'll be in heaven and know that no lie can stay in heaven. At that point, that patron saint or that person who is one of these cloud of witnesses will say to you, if you weren't here, I would not be complete in the sense that what I did is validated by what you went on to accomplish by the born-again nature. Because I was looking for a time when the Messiah would come and people could live sin-free. I was looking for a time when the Messiah would come and people could live with a new nature and they could be filled with the Spirit. We gave our lives. We wrought battles. We stood up against giants. We walked into lion's den. We walked through fires because at the time we didn't know what we were doing. But we were looking forward to the future when some group of people would receive Christ. You became that part. And you proved that what we gave our life for and what we stood up against kingdoms, you proved that it was a truth and that Christ in you, the hope of glory, stands up and you can live out a sin-free life. Glory be to God. And they'll say, you validate me. You make my witness perfect. If you hadn't have gotten here through the new nature, they were looking forward, we're looking back, and they will say to us, you validate who I am. Isaiah, were you really sewn asunder? Yes, I was, but you were connected with me at the hip at that moment in time. Because without you being here and living out the significance of the new nature, then what we gave our life for, you prove it. You prove it that a church could walk it out in the life of the new nature. And my God, their reward will reflect off of us. Glory be to God. Can you see that? Can you see that? Without us, they're not perfected. They're saying, I hope there's a group. And listen, just because one got in the door and there's millions up there, but every single one of you that gets there validates who they are. Every single one of you. Every conversation will be on the part that no matter where you're sitting at in heaven. But listen, there'll be some. He says here, because of this, because we can perfect these, not in a moral sense, but in a validation sense, we can, in essence, make their rest in peace, or we can bring them to the height of what they spent their life for. Because of this, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight and sin which so easily besets us. He's saying this, look, there is coming a time where you're going to meet these. And they're surrounding you with a tremendous testimony. They've given you testimony after testimony. And because of that, see, there's going to be a lot of people, lots and lots, millions and millions, that will get to heaven with sin in their life. If there was no sinless, I mean, if there was only, but I'm talking about the types of sins that won't keep you out of heaven, that doesn't destroy the image of Christ in you. They won't carry that into heaven, but they'll arrive in eternity with those carryovers. Unforgiveness that they didn't quite, get past. The way they treated their bodies in this life. Different things that should have been cleaned up. But never got cleaned up. Different things that they won't carry it into eternity, but they'll get to the brink of it and it'll have to drop off there. But it'll be the weight of where we stand in glory. Now, to the ones who are willing in this life to do this, because these guys have led such a testimony in front of us, Paul is saying, or the writer is saying, because of this, gear up. The race is set in front of you. It is a significant race. You want to meet these people knowing that you laid aside the weight and the sin. Some things are, he even categorizes things between sin and weights. Just something in your life that stands there that tries to hinder you from being all that you can be in Christ. And he's saying basically, you want to go into heaven knowing that you ran this race with such a significance. These people probably will, they'll meet everybody in heaven is going to be kind. That's for sure. Everybody in heaven will be kind. And they will give a compliment to everybody that is there. But based on your reward, that is what you were willing to lay down in this life for Christ, you will have men like Paul. You will have men like David. You will have men of significance look at you and say, I can see that you were willing to lay down your life for the Lamb. Therefore, you validate me. You make my being here and what we did back then perfect. You perfected it through what you did. And this is what Paul is asking us to do. To let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I love that word patience. It's a powerful word because it's a force word. I was watching the History Channel last night and they were talking about the force, the dark force. And it was talking about the expanse of the universe. And they weren't talking about the dark force as in spiritual nature, but they were saying that all of the planets and stars of this galaxy is expanding and they're actually separating and getting further and further apart from each other all the time. And as they expand towards other galaxies and they go into these black holes, they actually explode or send out a tremendous explosion of gas and different things. But they were talking about that there's this, all they've commonly termed it as scientists, as a black force that keeps pushing all these planets and stars in directions away from each other. So they're basically saying our galaxy is ever expanding. There's a force here that Paul or the writer is mentioning. It's the force of consistency. It's called patience. And he's saying, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If there's anybody that I want to get there and meet, if there's anybody that I want to get there and see, it's first and foremost the chief witness, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the promise. He is the, as we're about to read, the author and the finisher of our salvation. He's the chief witness, but behind him all these other great men and women of God stand. And he gives me wisdom to say, look, if you want to make it there, and you don't want, if you want more than just to be there, if you want to validate these people, if you want to perfect their ministry 4,000 years ago, then understand this, a great part of your race depends on hupomene, which is, that's a Greek word, I'm not trying to be big with Greek words. It's hupomene, the force of consistency or patience. It means constantly the same. The way that your race is best run is to continue to run it with a force of consistency. Meaning this, excuse me ladies, put your britches on all the time the same way. Keep going. You know, don't ever stop doing what you did yesterday. Get up, spiritually get up. Keep going forward. The force of consistency here is what he is saying is what wins the race for you. Hallelujah. And we don't get too many amens out of that, but the same old, same old. The same old is what wins the race for you. Sometimes you'll talk to people, and you've all talked to them, and we've all sometimes maybe said this ourselves. Well, Pastor, and I talked to somebody recently, and God bless them. No names. Nobody here. But they were like, I tried, you know, they were really having a tough time in their life, and they said this. They said, I tried, you know, prayer for a while, and then that didn't seem to help, so I'm having to do this. When somebody tells you that they tried prayer, when they say, I tried prayer for a while, or I tried prayer, it tells you volumes right there. You cannot try prayer. You have to abandon yourself to it. You have to abandon to come to the place where we validate these people. These people were, these Old Testament people were committed. How committed? Well, the difference is, you know, the difference between the, you know, the, what are the, how is that, how do they say that? The chicken and the bacon, you know, the egg and the bacon. What's the difference? The pig was committed. He was sold out. I mean, he put it all in there. You know, the hen that laid the egg, she still may be around. The chicken was willing. Help me. I was trying. The pig was committed. Okay, we'll get it straight. You have to be like, really, with your prayer life, with your life going into Him, you have to be to the place where, like they talk about certain discoverers who, when they landed on the beach in the New World, they said, burn the boats. Burn. You cannot give yourself another way of escape. You cannot, in the back of your mind, say, if this is not working for me, I'll have another way to flesh out. I need another way to flesh out sometimes. You have to be totally sold to say, I'm not going to try prayer. If prayer's not working for me seemingly today, if the things that I understand of the basic fundamentals of going into Christ, and I'm not saying we've arrived on all of them, but we do understand some of the major significant ones, but I'm telling you this, you can't try them. You have to totally be sold out to them. Trying them will always leave you room to escape back into something of the flesh. Do you understand that? Trying them always gives you an opportunity to say, I knew I was going to give myself a deadline here and it just didn't work out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So doing what? Look at verse 2. But how many of you see that patience there? Hufamene, the force of consistency. That's the thing. It's every day, every day. Every day, every day. Looking unto Jesus. Now here is our chief witness. Here's the one that trumps them all, because all the rest of them are standing in line. But this one here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. I love that word finisher. It is the word completer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, Manus. Glory be to God. Looking unto Jesus. See, there's one of you. Turned around like he was a patron saint. We'll run through Hebrews 11, see if we can find his name here in a little bit. Looking unto Jesus, the author. So this is what he's saying. Okay. You want to be able to run this race? Yes. Well, this is one of the major components, the force of consistency. Always being the same. Always. Do I feel like it? No. In fact, you rejoice the more. You rejoice the more on the times where you find where it's not the popular thing for you. You know, we live in a generation right now where part of this whole contest for the White House is based on the whims of the time. Like, is it still significant to really make abortion an issue? Those kinds of things. So sometimes people will get to a place where they think, well, that's old hat. But for you, the things that you've learned from the beginning, the spiritual things, you pray past those points, even if they feel like old hat. If you keep praying, there'll be new hat again. Hallelujah. Looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of your salvation, or of your faith, meaning this, the one who birthed it in you, He's also the one that's going to complete it in you. He'll get you past your human weaknesses. He promises you right there that whatever it is inside of you that seems to be an insurmountable impasse, you can't get past, He'll get you past. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. And this is one thing here. the joy. There is a joy, but part of our joy is this. One thing we know, hey, revival probably is not going to happen tomorrow. I hate to say that. It's on its way. But you might as well buckle down into a good, comfortable place of patience. Run your race well. And know this. Roll with every punch. Live in joy and just have a good time. Just have a good time. Because whatever you're going to win today, something else will replace that tomorrow. And just laugh, ha ha, hee hee, because something else replaced it. And the force of consistency just kicks back up, kicks back in. Well, man, I tried. No, don't try it. Just burn the boats. Go ahead. Burn the boats. Look. Whatever. Oh, I was going to use that to... I just kept that one in the background, Pastor. I was going to flesh out on that one. You know, if the pressures got too much, I was kind of burn that one. Burn it all. I mean, just totally committed. You know, totally committed. Hallelujah. That's the only way to have this outpouring. Glory be to God. So when you do this, we understand that for the joy that was set before Him. So what kind of joy is set before us? Oh, seeing a whole state born again to God. Then going into heaven and meeting all these patron saints and having them come up to you and say, hey, David come up to Homer and say, Homer, you name dropped my name a lot down there. You liked me, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you something. With God standing there as His witness, He'll say, I overcame one giant, but you, through the born-again nature, you overcame hundreds of giants to validate the very fact that we all have a home here, that He who gave us a place where 1 John said that a man can live above sin. It's not that he'll never, ever sin, but that he can live without sin. Homer, I couldn't do that. I wanted to, but I found myself time and time again falling into sin. But you validated that a man could go months and years and years and years without falling into sin, because the new nature that you lived in conquered giant after giant after a giant. You make me perfect. You validate me here in this life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Makes me want to run a little bit. Glory be to God. That's just good stuff. If that'll sink in, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. We look unto Him, the author and the one that will complete it of our faith, who for the joy... See, that's what He had that joy in front of Him. We got to keep this joy. If the big picture... I was talking to somebody today and they were talking about the big picture. If the big picture, which is Christ in us and what He's called us to do and to conquer this world for Him, if that can stay in front of us, it'll conquer every other thing on a daily basis for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Some people have said, oh, He didn't care too much about it. He was so in love with us that... No, the Word says He despised. He's despised the shame and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him, who? Christ, the greatest of all these witnesses. He's leading, He's the captain of our faith. He's a captain over Moses, over Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, all these ones. He is the chief witness. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your what? In your minds. Hallelujah. So you have these examples in front of you, and Him being the chief one. Lest you see, because endured such contradiction, there's not a day that you'll hardly go through. Oh, you'll escape some days. But you'll find that there's always a constant contradiction against your faith in some way. If it's not coming from the spiritual realm against your mind, it's coming through others. It's coming through the world. They're always leaning. The world's always leaning on you. It's always trying to get you to lean backwards. But for the joy, if we receive His joy, Then with patience we can run this race, and it doesn't matter what comes tomorrow, next week, or the year after. Hallelujah. We're going to get to heaven and they're going to be mesmerized. And you know that they're going to say it. And you know they can't lie. It won't be just like a pat on the back. They'll say, thank you for being here, because without you, I couldn't have been made perfect. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Okay, Father, we thank you for these few moments in your word. And for the glory of God, we thank you that we're working towards something that's really significant here. Powerful. Great in essence and great in glory. There'll be men and women that we'll share eternity with. Even in this room, we'll look around and say, we endured and we fought the fight. Against contradictions of our faith, we went forward and we worship you, Father, because you're the one. You're the one that validates those Old Testament saints and us here now in truth. All honesty, we love you, we worship you, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.